Hey, this is Casey Shearer.
And this is Ray.
Do you like pop culture?
We're pretty sure you do.
Then come on over and check us out at deluxeedition.show.
You will not be sorry. Or maybe you will be. I don't know.
Jason Mount Olive is a man with many friends.
Jason will give you such wealth.
To each he has given anything.
He will fulfill every whim.
And everything.
With every fancy.
They've ever desired.
Every dream. Trust, Jason.
Now they've been reunited for one last time. Each to receive one last gift. The legacy.
Welcome to the last episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hello, boys and ghouls.
This week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss, and every week, I'm already messing this up, we discuss guilty pleasures, forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre. This week, we're discussing the Sam Elliott, Catherine Ross, Roger Daltrey classic. The Legacy. So good times. Aaron, how are you doing?
Do you need a teleprompter, sir?
I probably do. I'm just off the edge of my seat and the seat of my pants doing my thing.
I've recently gone through a transformation because I went to the Cruel World Festival, which I've decided is disco goth. So, boom, I had to dye my hair for that.
Dynamite. And by the way,
I'm over here burping into the microphone. Excuse me.
It's okay to hit the mute button, by the way, when these things occur. You don't just have to let every bodily function bring down on the
replacement. It's like, I'm about to burp. Allow me. What mute button is there?
There's a mute button. There's a button there. There's a camera and a microphone and a hand on your screen.
I got you a 9-inch nails button.
Sounds dynamite. By the way... Speaking to some other podcasters earlier, I want to reiterate the fact that Aaron and I, not married.
Again?
We are brother and sister.
With your wife, your sister wife.
Not a sister wife. This is not wedding in the Appalachia. So good times. No offense to those of our Appalachian listeners.
So, we got a lot of those. So what exactly would, if I was married to my brother, what would be Becky's relationship? Would she be she's my sister-in-law and my sister-wife?
Well, in this bizarre reality you've constructed, since incest is on the table, is polygamy also on the table? Or?
It's Game of Thrones, brother. It's Game of Thrones.
Okay. Good time.
Tyrion, where are you?
Sweet Jesus. Anywho.
Wait a minute. So you were just on a thing.
Yes.
Another one of your quizzes where I understand you shamed yourself. Well, and again, they were like, where's your wife?
Well, let me just say this. Yes, I was on the middle class film class, did a tournament of champions. I'm not going to reveal the results because I don't know when this episode is dropping and when his episode is dropping. So I don't want to spill
fair
the
enough,
beans.
Fair enough.
I mean, could I have gone out in the first round? Are there even rounds? Who's to say? So there you go. What I'm talking about is I always have to tell people, we are related by blood, not by marriage. This is my sister. My sister, not my spouse. Good times. How are you doing, Aaron?
Well, on the sister wife shows, while they're not married to the brother, sisters can be married to the same man, though.
Well, what was that?
So you can be married to your wife, Becky, and her sister simultaneously.
Well, and they're called sister wives just because it's polygamy. So if you're married to a bunch of chicks, they're kind of, I guess we're like sisters? High five?
I guess, but are you a sister wife or are you just sisters?
You're not legally, I guess you're not sisters in any sense of the word. I think
no,
it's
but
more
if
of an honorary
you still sisters
title.
Marry a dude, are they still sister wives or are they just sisters?
They're still sisters. And they are in this, again, in this twisted scenario of constructed, are both my wives? I don't know how this works. Sweet Jesus.
What if you married an aunt?
Did Brigham Young have to come up with this stuff? He had to deal with all sorts of issues. He had like 50 wives. Anyway, moving on. Tell us, give us your 30-second synopsis of The Legacy.
No, first of all, you didn't even ask me about myself.
I did twice. I said, how are you doing? And you kept running it back to this weird.
We were on a track. Okay. Young people, I was at the Cruel World Festival, got shut down because they said lightning was going to come and strike us. Even though when I looked directly up in the middle of the greatest Human League set of all time, I saw nothing but sky.
What is the Cruel World Festival?
Cruel World, this was the second event. The first one was 2 days. This one was 1 day. It was 2 days. It was the same concert twice, though.
You're not telling me any information. What is it for somebody who has no idea?
It's a music festival.
What kind of music?
Okay, it is kind of dark wave.
Who the hell would know what that means?
All right. The first year, it was Morrissey and Bauhaus were the headliners.
Okay.
So kind of emo with some dance music, but they also had more synth pop. This time, the headliners were Iggy Pop and Susie and the Banshees, but it was Animotion. Adam and the Ant canceled, substituted Squeeze the last day. So
well,
Squeeze.
On. Is it Adam and the Ant?
No, the Ant's
ant?
Been gone since the 80s. So
Adam
ant,
ant
pulled out the day before and they interjected Squeeze. We lost the Motels right before and they put Berlin in.
That's not bad.
ABC.
Okay.
The Human League.
That's a good one.
Echo and the Bunnymen.
Okay.
Billy Idol.
Love me some Billy Idol.
I'm telling you. I ditched Billy Idol. I heard some Flesh for Fantasy, but I was bouncing because it was Love and Rockets. I mean, there's like eight other bands, but now that you've asked me, I'm not going to remember.
You mentioned eight bands just there. So
no, but there was like 20 bands. I saw Boy Harsher. That's like gothy disco. It's like dance music.
Unfamiliar.
I know you're not. You're not down with the cool kids. Tony Hawk was there, although I did not see him. He was
the skateboard guy.
Yes,
did he do tricks on stage or what?
That's the good thing about this festival. All of a sudden, if you have a keen eye, like Tony Hawk might be sitting next to you. He was at the stage right next door to me, seeing a group called Gang of Four.
Not familiar.
No, I didn't
Such
think
is
so.
Life.
You're not down with the cool kids, but Animotion sucked. ABC rocked it. Berlin rocked it. The Human League was effing amazing. Echo and the Bunnymen sucked because he may have been a little inebriated. And he was on the big stage and refused to project. So all you saw are little black spots. So.
Upsetting. Upsetting.
F Echo, F the Bunnymen.
They're all taking shots, is what you're saying.
They're all taking shots. But it was awesome. Last year was 50,000. So they figured, what the fuck? We'll sell 70,000 tickets. So it was a bit more crowded this time.
Cozy. Cozy, some might say.
Cozy. There you go. How about that? So that's why my hair is blue. And actually, it looks kind of rock and roll.
Not bad. Same. Looks like a Patti Smith, not Patti Smythe.
How about it's going to be a slap and not a tickle?
Give us your 30-second synopsis of The Legacy, for God's sakes.
Legacy. People show up to England because, like in the 70s, they're still throwing out a $50,000 home decorating job where I fly you across the pond. Because, I mean, that would be a lot of money now, but this is the fucking 70s. So they show up, get run off the road, and then are at a castle that looks like Wayne Manor where they could never leave. Where apparently, like, she's going to inherit some shit. Like, wouldn't you just show up if they said you're going to inherit a bunch of shit? Wouldn't that have been easier? I'm showing up. Meet me at Wayne Manor. There's going to be a box of money. It's all going to be yours. Skip the part about how everybody's got to die but you. And then we're cool. But really, I think this whole thing is about feminism. So, boom.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Aaron, this was your selection. You've been talking about doing The Legacy for years now. Why?
Let me tell you a little story.
Please.
I went to a boarding school And this was pre-VCR, pre-digital recorder on your TV. In fact, we didn't have TVs. We were half Amish. I have no idea who shot JR because we didn't have TVs. I only got to watch TV when I came home. I missed the first 2 years of MTV. So let's just put that out there.
The train was a recent invention.
It was a tragedy. There was one girl who had a small black and white TV, and I would pretend to be sick, and I would just break into her room and watch TV while she was in school.
I'm sure that was lovely to discover when she came back from her studies.
I'm going to stay in your bed as I cough up with my bronchitis. So what they would do is we actually had movie catalogs, and once a month, they would order movies, like film strips.
Okay.
And this was one.
And it stuck with you.
And it stuck with me. Plus, Roger Daltrey, he was famous. Yes. I mean, he wasn't that big. I mean, let's be straight. This was the 80s. But you know who The Who was.
I mean, The Who was, I mean, this was like 79.
The Who's still The Who.
The Who was still The Who.
Let's and The Who was A Who then, too.
Absolutely.
Well, Horton Hears A Who. So, and I remember thinking at the time in my, I don't know, 14-year-old heart that Roger Daltrey was looking pretty good. He was still probably way old then.
He didn't look that old, though. I mean, how old
he did look that old. No. But The Who had been rocking it for a long time.
They had. I mean, he's doing his, when you're Roger Daltrey, you can be in movies if you want. Just say, hey, I'm going to be in your movie. Just show up on set one day. Now you're the third lead.
I mean, he was in Tommy, so he thought he was going to be on his way to the Academy Awards. Not so much maybe in this one, but I love Tommy. Tina Turner, Gypsy the Acid Queen.
Had you seen this movie in the last 40 years?
Oh, no. I think I've only ever seen it once in my life.
You saw it once back in 79.
And now, I'm not sure when I ever saw it again. That's what I remember seeing it. And frankly, half the time I get it confused with The Legend of Hell House. Somehow, if we'd morphed the two together, I kept waiting. Where's Roddy McDowell?
Well, there were a number of movies that I'd kind of mix up. There was The Haunting, because the book was called The Haunting of Hill House.
Right.
Then there's The Legend of Hell House.
Right.
Then there's The House on Haunted Hill. So I used to mix them all up into
13 Ghosts. Just a stew. I mean, it's a haunted house. How many things can happen in a house that's haunted?
It's not good.
Ghosts, there's demons, there's blood. Apparently, there's insane ghosts that you keep in plexiglass in some of these situations.
That's what they say.
The Haunting of Hill House. We don't even know if there are ghosts. It's all, maybe it's all in her noggin.
She may be insane.
She may be.
So I saw this movie the first time, I want to say like 12 years ago, and I don't know why. For some reason, it was in my Netflix queue. Like I added back when they would send you the disc. Okay? So it was on my next Netflix queue, and they sent it to me, and I watched it. And I'm like, is that Sam Elliott? I didn't know Sam Elliott was in this bad boy.
You get to see all about Sam Elliott in here. Now you know why he's so popular.
I mean, he's a handsome devil, although his hair was kind of strange in this one. Wouldn't you agree? It's not quite, because he has kind of like this 80s blowout during the 80s.
Like they were trying to tame it.
Yes.
But it's untamable.
Yes.
So, but he does have a great ass, because he has no problem just shaking his moneymaker.
The only nudity in this movie is Sam Elliott's ass.
His wife is completely wrapped like a mummy, but Sam Elliott is just, you know, swinging in the wind.
He had a shower scene, an extended shower scene, where you see him walk across the bathroom, climb into the shower, bare ass naked. Good Lord. Mel Gibson was looking at it like, that's a good thing to do in all your movies. I'm going to do that too.
And they're still married.
Well, they weren't married. They met. They weren't married, but their romance blossomed during this movie.
And she saw that ass.
She saw that ass.
She's like, I got to get a slice of that.
Well, they were in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Well, I know she was. Who was he in Butch Cassidy?
She was like the third lead after Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
She was huge.
Yes. Well, she was at the time, and we talk about this later, but she was in The Graduate. Yeah. She was in Butch Cassidy, like within 2 years of each other. Just boom, boom.
Yeah.
And then the well started to get a little dry, if you know what I'm saying. Get a little dry. But so she was the third lead in Butch Cassidy. Sam Elliott was a glorified extra. Like, he's in the beginning of the movie, there's like a card playing scene. And I think he's just one of the dudes at the table. So he thought she was Foxy then, but of course she's the star and he's just some dude.
Right.
This movie, they star in together. She's actually married to someone else.
What? Yeah.
She's married to someone else. That marriage doesn't last.
I guess not.
As you might imagine. And she's with Sam Elliott. And like 5 years later, they get married.
Okay. Not rushing
they're
in.
They're still married together.
Yeah.
To this day.
God bless them.
God bless them, everyone. I saw it 12 years ago and I remembered Sam Elliott. I remembered Catherine Ross. Remembered Roger Daltrey. And that's all I remembered.
Basically it.
Right.
When the one lady was in the pool, I have some vague memory of it. And I could not remember what actually happens. I have a memory of Roger Daltrey dying. And that's about it.
I have no recollection of anything. No recollection. Now I think I remember the VHS case, right? Where it's like, there's the white cat and then like an old hand coming down showing the ring. And that's supposed to mean some shit to somebody. Didn't mean anything to me. Shall we jump right in? Are you ready?
Boom.
Hit me. What do you got? You go first.
Oh my God. Well, first of all, we have already discussed the shaking of that ass. And that's awesome.
We did.
But honestly, I think this is like a full exploration of feminism.
How so? Lay it on me.
Well, because she's really infantilized through most of this movie. He's always telling her to relax. He's always telling her to calm down. Half the time she's wrapped up like a little baby. And by the end, she has all the power and she is kicking f-ing ass and taking names. And he is like, can I hold your purse?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love this movie because it's really just a showcase of seeing Sam Elliott just get irritated with everybody.
Oh, he's nonstop. Irritated all the time. It's beautiful.
Nonstop. He gets run off the road. You see him turn around like, what the? Come on. Like, you would do a musical montage of just him turning around with a crazy like, what are you doing? You never get the sense that he's like worried about anything. He's more like, can you believe this? The car's broken down. What the
crazy
hell?
Country is this? Bunch of knuckleheads. He never really fights anyone, but he's super irritable.
He gets pissed off. He does. He fights the stable boys at one point because they're like, F this. No one will take us into town. So we're going to steal a couple horses and just gallop into town. Didn't have any trouble getting into town at that point, I might add. But
they're really riding horses. Who knew Sam Elliott was riding English, man? But they seem like... She seemed a little bit more comfortable than him, but they were doing their own stunts.
Well, to my knowledge, and I could look this up, but I'm not going to. Sam Elliott is from California. He's, you know, California's a big state. There's a lot of country, you might say, but he's not from like the deep South where he's like, I was raised on a ranch kind of thing.
No. He looks like he was raised on a ranch. But wait, it's all because of that mustache.
It's that mustache.
It's the mustachio.
He really exudes kind of a pungent masculinity.
Oh my God, he is musky as fuck. Like women walk by and just fall over.
Absolutely. I mean, you haven't seen Roadhouse, but you should see it. He is Patrick Swayze's mentor. So he's like, he's kind of grizzled and he's got like his long hair at this point.
He didn't mentor too well because Patrick Swayze is the opposite of masculine.
I'm just saying, if you don't like Swayze, tune in for the Sam Elliott. That's all I'm saying.
Before there was Magnum P.I., there was freaking Sam Elliott.
Right before Magnum P.I. Right before
and quite Elliott. Frankly, I don't know why Sam Elliott wasn't Magnum P.I. because it clearly is a physical ripoff.
So you're saying they wanted Sam Elliott, but that's it. I guess we'll settle for Tom Selleck.
They couldn't afford Sam Elliott. They went with the Walmart. They couldn't afford Target, so they went with the Walmart version.
That is correct. The Walmart for that's. I think we can all agree. Case here. Sweet Jesus. So maybe you can explain this to me.
Lay it on me.
Catherine Ross and Sam Elliott are not married, but they're live-in lovers or whatever.
Well, it's the 70s. It's my late partner. 70s.
My partner. But they're also, are they contractors? Is that what it is?
I thought they were. She's an interior designer who doesn't want to travel alone.
Is that all it was? I thought he was there like a carpenter or something. No? Am I crazy?
Because it seemed like they were hiring her, and then she's like, you're going to come with me, right?
Oh, maybe so. Maybe
so. Who knows?
Yes. We're going to give you a $50,000 advance to come do some interior decorating.
How much furniture you buy in the 70s for $50,000?
All of it.
Good heavens.
All the furniture.
That's right. Everything then, Walmart makes.
Then there's a 15-minute musical montage of them like, they're in London, walking, picking up like groceries. Oh, no. And
pump the brakes, pump the brakes. We got to go all the way back to the beginning because in the 70s, there's a love theme for everything.
Yes.
So even the opening has a love theme.
It does.
Sung by Kiki D.
Kiki D. Don't go breaking my heart.
If only she was singing that song. This one was not quite as catchy.
Do you know any other Kiki D hits?
No, there are no others.
There's the so it's the love theme from the you Legacy. Have,
yeah.
And the duet.
Don't break in my heart. I mean, John, she yeah. might, you know, pardon me, British people. You know, they record a bunch of crap that we never get over here. It never quite makes it across. It sinks halfway across the Atlantic.
It's true. It's sad. Well, okay. I always wonder if you're a music group and you're working on an album. Are you like, here are two or three really good songs, and here are 10 pieces of shit, but we got to have something to fill up the rest of the album. Do those thoughts occur to them?
Well, now it would never make it because no one's going to buy the album. They're just going to drop that one single. But right. I remember walking into, this is the Wayback Machine, a record store.
Yes.
To buy an album, but Big Country was playing. And I was like, yeah. So I bought that album. Guess what? Big Country is the only song on that album worth a damn. I remember
the self-titled.
Throwing it across the room. That's what they do. They got a box of Big Country, which they know was going to stink. This I learned all of this from my John Cusack movies. And they're just going to pop High Fidelity. You're going to pop it on. And a bunch of suckers are going to walk in going, I like that song.
Well,
forgetting what I came to buy.
It is a warning when your hit single is also the name of your band. Big Country by Big Country. You know that's it. We shot our whole load.
On the album, Big Country.
Yeah.
Big Country cubed.
That's the unholy trinity.
In a big country,
dreams stay with you. Yeah.
Like a lover's voice, cause the mountains are
saying. A lot of bagpipes in that song as well, if I'm remembering.
Well, it was that and Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Well, Dexy's, they had like the fiddler. Well, they were all wearing like overalls and shit.
Dude, for Halloween next year, you got to go as Dexy. Just like a half overall with no shirt, a little cap, roll up the cuffs and
dance. You have to get like a clown wig, but dye it black. And then you're
Dexy.
By the way, like Jethro Tull, there was no Dexy in the group. Dexy referred to Dexedrine, which was their drug of choice. So there you go.
Do you think they would have been dancing a little quicker?
Anywho, where the hell are we? Musical montages. There's a lot of musical montages in this guy.
And love things, you know. All the disaster movies had like a love theme.
Oh, shit, here we go.
There's got to be a morning after.
Yes, that's correct. The love theme from The Poseidon Adventure, if I'm remembering correctly.
But it was a great song.
It was a good one to get.
Yeah, not so much. Any of them Marvel movies you like? They got some of them love themes?
They need them. I'll tell you what. The 80s, was the decade for musical montages just in general. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's a, we're going into the clothing store, suddenly I see, where you're putting on every, all the fashions and shit, or you're cleaning up the house like Revenge of the Nerds. You're like, oh, we got to get our house ready. Let's do a 20-minute musical montage.
Or Frankie says, relax, body double.
That was actually the music video for Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I told you, we pissed off. When we covered Body Double, ladies and gentlemen, we kept calling the guy Frankie, the lead singer of Frankie Goes to Hollywood. And I got an angry tweet saying, hey, jackass, the lead singer of Frankie Goes to Hollywood is not named Frankie. I'm like, my bad.
Just for that, whenever I see Mark McGrath, I'm going to say, hey, Sugar Ray, what's up?
Same difference. Same difference. Sweet Jesus.
I don't care, but at least we've provoked an emotional response. You know,
that is true.
Hate is close. It's just another form of love.
Says Ike Turner, I guess, right? Oh, sweet Jesus. So, okay, so they go... They get run off the road. Sam Elliott gives the guy the stink eye. And they're like, hop in the back of the Rolls. I'll take you to my castle. Because ostensibly they're there to meet somebody eventually to go over the proposal for the interior decoration. That whole subplot is totally forgotten. Like, there's never a point where Sam Elliott's like, hey, you know, we have an appointment next week. We gotta get out of this place. No one ever says that shit.
They don't have a suitcase. They don't have measuring tapes. They have no equipment.
They do not. A couple
They're
saddlebags.
Literally in a, they showed up in a motorcycle.
Yes. Showed up in a motorcycle. Again, they're rolled. Now, granted, they're English roads, which means they're very narrow, evidently. Which is why if you're on your motorcycle, Sam Elliott, don't go swerving back and forth across the road. That's not safe. It's not safe.
It's not safe.
They
it's
go
true.
Into the bushes. Very upsetting. So they're basically shanghaied at this beautiful country British estate where randos show up from all over the world, right? There's the couple German people. There's like the English dude. There's the French woman. I'm trying to remember. And they're all like captains of industry. Is that correct, Aaron? Like one of them?
Yeah,
like,
they're like one of them runs
like a publishing empire.
A publishing empire. The other one sounded like she's a madam or something. It was all like random. They're highly successful in their careers.
That was so bizarre. So you got the hotelier over here. You got the guy who's like an industrial titan. Then you got the one who's like she's a madam. Although they called her like a very popular hostess in Rome. That doesn't seem like that's on the same level.
Yeah, is she hostessing a princess house party, Tupperware? Right. What is she hostessing?
She's Heidi Fleiss, is what we're
later. She's Heidi Fleiss, and it's in Rome, so it's politicians, so people were born to die.
And she's a great swimmer, evidently, because the moment she arrived, she's like, I'm going to be swimming for the next 48 hours. So if you want to see me, that's where I will be. I will not be anywhere but swimming.
It is her pool. They refer to it as her pool. Did you enjoy seeing... and one dude was decorated by Adolf Hitler before the war ended.
Yes.
Also known as Blofeld.
Yes, he was Blofeld. Charles Gray, the famous British actor, who was also in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes, I have that written down.
It's
just a jump to the left.
That's him. He was pretty much taking anything by the late 70s, I'm sad
to
say.
Dude, but he's really good at this. There are many points of this movie where he just kind of leans over and looks over with his crazy little half cigarette. He's solid. He's not f***ing around. He is awesome.
There's really, I mean, the performance, even Roger Daltrey, not classically trained as far as I know, everybody seemed like they were doing their work and handling their business.
There was no jackassery. There was none of this. Why they hire him, except maybe Roger Daltrey, but he had a very small role and he was great. He was memorable,
but
he's exactly who he should be.
He had as big a role as any of those jackasses that came out of the woodwork,
right?
And then there was the nurse who's like evidently runs the household. Her name's just, they just call her Adams the nurse. Why is she in charge, the nurse?
She's the familiar.
That okay. So halfway through the movie, Catherine Ross is like, is there some black magic up in this place? Is that so? She's literally asking people, you guys do some black magic up in here? Sam Elliott's like, would you shut the hell up with this black magic
shit? Oh, yeah.
Shit?
The whole thing, he's just telling her he's just mansplaining and gaslighting her to shut her the fuck up because he doesn't know what's going on. So everything was relax. You crazy. Settle down. You know, have a mama's little helper. Maybe you need a bath. Maybe you need a nap. Shut the fuck up.
He wasn't as bad as all that. I mean, in his defense, she was talking. I mean, where did she come from with black? Where did she pull the black magic out of her ass? She's just like,
you know,
there's some black magic. Like I said, he is never like that concerned. It's more like, what the fuck is happening in this place? What are you guys doing here? Just constant. I'm irritated with you. I'm irritated with you.
I got my eye on you next. It's like the guy from Stripes. And you're next.
You just made the list, pal.
Yeah, you just made the list.
There's a lot of that going on. So, and I guess, so they're picked up in the roles. And the kindly host, his name is Jason Mount Olive.
Mm-hmm.
And then he disappears. Like, we don't really see him for the rest of the movie.
Do we think it was really Mountbatten? As in, this is actually the royal family?
Ooh, so you think there's a connection to real things going on there?
Mm. It's deep, man. It's deep.
Who's to say? Who's to say? What else you got?
Oh, well, we already talked about Crazy Blofeld, but the black cat always reminded me of the other Bond villain with the white cat. That's Blofeld. Was that Blofeld too?
Blofeld.
So he's there with his white cat. Was that before or after this?
He was, I think, the fourth actor to play Blofeld, and he played it against Sean Connery in Diamonds Are Forever.
Oh, so after. This is 79. When did Diamonds Are Forever come out?
Diamonds Are Forever was like 71.
Oh, so then maybe this is all. Maybe it was going to be a black cat, but he's like,
That's my jam. That's my job. Absolutely.
Because that's all I kept thinking. I wanted him to pick it up and stroke it.
Just grab back to at one point, they say, in Europe, Roger Daltrey is the music business. And I kept thinking, wouldn't Catherine Ross have at least heard of him then? Am I crazy? Or is it just... He's real big in Luxembourg. I mean,
maybe he's like a Cliff Richards, where he had like that one song in the 70s here, but somehow he's a demigod in England. Yes.
It's hilarious that you mentioned Cliff Richards, because I was literally at a family function. I was like, somebody mentioned Cliff Richard, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's so funny. We don't talk anymore. I know that one. It's and then Tara's like, devil woman. And then Tim, our British brother-in-law, is like, yes, he is the highest selling musical act in the history of Britain, with like hits across 5 decades. And I'm like, who the what? Yes, like he
I'm sorry, I thought that was David Hasselhoff. Who brought down the Berlin Wall.
He did, absolutely.
Single-handedly with his music.
So, yeah, if you Google Cliff Richards, he, like, inspired the Beatles and the Stones and shit. He actually had a handful of hits in the United States that I was unaware of, but he's had, like, 100 hits in the UK. So, Cliff Richards, congratulations.
The devil you say. So, we have determined that this is, in fact, Cliff Richards.
He is Cliff Richards.
This.
Yes, if Roger Daltrey would have turned around and said,
you're just a devil woman with evil on your mind, jinx.
That should have been the theme. Devil woman
with evil on her mind.
Well, he sang that like song, not Roger Daltrey. Cliff Richard sang that song with Olivia Newton-John. Suddenly,
the wheels of motion. I didn't know that was him. Maybe he'll be at the next Cruel World. What the fuck? Who knew?
He has hits. It's
Are you going to tell me like Warren Zevon has more than Werewolves in London too?
He does not.
Okay.
He's real big in Luxembourg. sweet Jesus. And I did write down hostess in Rome? Question mark? Yes. That's a nice way of saying she a madam.
Yeah. Now that sounds very Berlusconi. There's corruption. There's murder. There's mayhem.
So the
I have one thing.
Jump in.
When the Italian lady dies, this is 1979, right?
Yes.
There's no CPR. You just throw her out and everyone stares at her to see if she pops back to life. You don't even want to tap her on the back. They're like, meh.
Sam Elliott is, interestingly enough, is always the first one on the scene to like get involved. Right? At one point, when Roger...
Because he's an American! We have to take charge! We hold these f***ing Brits out of two wars, and he's here to handle shit again!
Absolutely. When Roger Daltrey is choking on a chicken bone, someone says, get him some water! Get him some... He's literally seizing on the ground, spasming out. What are you doing? Pour water on his face? What do you think that's going to do? He's having a seizure. Yes. Good times. And he picks up Roger Daltrey fairly easily and just kind of tosses him on the table.
Carries him like an infant.
Carries him like an infant. Now,
very emasculating for Roger Daltrey.
Who, I swear to God, is 5'3".
Oh, I'm sure he is. I assume Sam Elliott is about as tall as Wilt Chamberlain. And Roger Daltrey is Tyrion Lannister.
That is absolutely correct. Facts.
100%. Absolutely. Facts. Hashtag facts.
That's great. He's as tall as Wilt Chamberlain. I think if you look that up, absolutely.
Sounds true, so it must be true.
It must be true. When they call the nurse suddenly arrives. And she
suddenly.
The wheels are in motion. She grabs a dirty steak knife off the table. And Sam Elliott rightly grabs her hand and goes like, whoa, what you doing? And she's like, I'm going to perform a tracheotomy on him to save his life. Can we get a clean knife at least? I wipe that one off with an oily rag while we're at it. And she proceeds to slice his throat, effectively murdering him. And Sam Elliott, right, I wrote this down. You got a nice touch, nurse.
Sam Elliott's the best. He just steals the show. He's just irritated, annoyed.
He was so pissed off this entire... Again, not like, I'm afraid there's unnatural forces. He's just like, this place sucks. I don't know.
This place sucks. You people are boring and stupid.
Yes.
You're pissing me off.
You're pissing me off. It's the right thing to do. That's
and I'm
going to
get another big glass of whiskey.
He did. That's what he did. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And
everyone should just relax.
Would you just relax? For goodness sake. There's no black magic in here. Okay.
I remember it being very impactful when they pulled out a chicken bone when he had no chicken.
They made a point to say, he goes to Catherine, hey, would you give me a little ham, sweets? And she's like, oh, would you? And then there's, of course, there's actually a server there. But for some reason, Roger Daltrey's like, no, I don't want your help, sir. I'd rather Catherine Ross serve me, if that's all the same to you. Because the server goes, how about some chicken? He's like, no chicken for me, mate. And then, yes, he pulled out a damn chicken wing out of his throat. So what does that mean?
I think it was Buffalo Wild Wings.
It was Buffalo Wild Wings, which is delicious, I might add. Don't eat.
They're rubbery blubbery.
Do you? Okay, this is a controversial opinion.
Yes.
If I'm going to have buffalo wings, I actually prefer boneless to bone in. So it's like...
I actually just prefer if you could just fry the skin and dip it in hot sauce.
Chicharrones?
I actually prefer the two bone section of the wing and not the drumstick.
You just want the bones. If they just leave
some just
bones
want
on a table.
Skin. There's more skin on the two-boned section of the wing.
You want to chew on the kind of the gristle and the tendons? And
no,
the
that's the drumette. That's the little drumstick. That's gristle and bone. I pick those out and feed those to the dogs.
Which you should not do, ladies and gentlemen. Do not feed...
Or my children, but I'm not needing them. I just pick out the good spots.
You're going to need Nurse Adams and Sam Elliott to help you keep feeding just bones to your children.
I thought you were going to tell me your controversy was you prefer ranch over blue cheese.
I could go either way. I'm not... I'm okay with blue cheese and I'm okay with ranch. But
it has to be good ranch, but preferable if you put crumbles of blue cheese into ranch.
Oh, that's interesting. That's branch.
Branch. Or Brokeford.
Brokeford. No, the reason it's controversial is essentially I'm saying I want buffalo flavored chicken nuggets. Is essentially what I'm saying.
I think McDonald's can handle that. Well, basically, you want the big bag of crap from Walmart that you can just put in the stove at home.
That's correct. Dinosaur shapes.
Yeah.
If at all possible.
It's basically whatever fell off the floor when they were harvesting chickens for regular people. And then they use that weird meat glue to form it into what? Little dinosaurs and palm trees for your enjoyment.
Yeah, that's 100% correct. Now, this reminds me, earlier in the movie, after the Italian hostess / swimming champion, it was all very muddled, they toss her ass into the creek, like in a garbage bag. Then later, when Charles Gray gets incinerated, when he goes down to like pick up an old burning log and it's just like napalm squirts out of the fireplace, just immolates him. They scoop up his guts into another trash bag and then just dump it into the courtyard for the dogs to eat. Cause Alpo is too expensive, evidently.
So I don't know what the hell, the dog's going to eat like the skull. You're basically just going to have a whole bunch of skeletons and more questions the next day.
That's what Sam Elliott goes.
And on 10,000 acres, no one can dig a fucking hole.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Yell at the dogs.
You got all that witchcraft. You can't turn it into powder and blow it away.
Cannot. I appreciate Sam Elliott going up to the gore and just sifting around with his bare ass hands and pulls out the ring. Finds the ring of the creature of the pile of goo that used to be Charles Gray. Good.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Later in the movie, because by this point, we figured out that all of these people who've been invited here are all kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? Like they owe something to Jason Mount Olive.
They owe everything to Jason.
Right. He found them.
They're scallywags and he gave them whatever they needed to raise to whatever position.
So
the top of their fields.
So and they start to go one by one, seemingly by supernatural ways. Now, we're supposed to think that they were murderers and shit, right? Who had
right. Actions had at least caused death directly or indirectly.
Directly or indirectly. And at the 11th hour when they were about to go to prison or whatever the fuck, Jason Mount Olive swoops in, fixes it, and then makes them wealthy and successful. Is that correct, or am I?
Oh, I didn't get that part. I thought that was just what happened during their rise to success. I didn't get that he kept them out of jail.
Oh, okay. Well, but okay.
I mean, I could be wrong. I haven't seen this movie in 47 years.
Well, hopefully, you saw it a couple days ago, right? I'm not asking to remember from 40 years ago. But whatever the case may be, it's something like he's been their benefactor, but they also have this checkered past where they've caused the death of somebody, directly or indirectly.
And interestingly, because like Blofeld, he was already on the naughty list before, right?
Yes, that's correct. Because he's a
Whereas other people work their way up to the naughty list.
Well, what was it? It was...
Maybe it's a little murky about when they met him. When did all the good things and the bad things happen?
The Charles Gray caused a fire, or somebody died in a fire that he caused. Something along those lines.
And then somebody else, it was a drug overdose for Roger Daltrey. Roger
Daltrey gave some bad shit to his drummer or bass player or some shit, and they died on stage.
Oh, was that what happened in The Who? The drummer?
Too close to home. The publishing lady was like, she stabbed somebody to death. Like,
now that's very, straight up.
Straight up.
One dude was a Nazi.
That was Charles Gray.
Yeah.
Charles Gray. But he was also burning people, like he burned the house.
So it wasn't the being the Nazi and getting ribbons from Hitler, is that he was neglectful landlord.
That's correct.
And there was a fire. That's what put him over.
That was too much. I was a bridge too far. And then I'm trying to think, it was looking at the clippings, it was something like the hostess was in a vice scandal. Whatever the fuck. Yes, because
Vice is they're prostitution. There's, yes. You know.
I don't think there was a murder. It's not, that seems kind of.
No, the somebody drowned. The punishment fits the crime.
You're absolutely right. And then the final dude, the hotelier, they didn't find a clipping.
Right.
So they're like, whoa.
So what's that about?
So we don't know who, because somebody left out these clippings for them to find. So I think we're supposed to think that the hotelier from Italy. Was he Italian or is he French?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I thought he was Italian. No, but his name was Jacques, so he's probably not Italian.
Probably not Italian.
No, the swimmer hostess was Italian. I think he was French.
So we think he left out the clippings, but then he goes about trying to gun down. It's ostensibly Catherine Ross, but really he's just shooting at Sam Elliott the entire time.
Well,
none
of them know who the killer is.
Well, because it's a supernatural thing that's going down. The audience knows it's because it was like the woman swimming in the pool, and suddenly it's like, you know, there's a lid on the pool. Like she can't get up, like she's Marcel Marceau.
Yeah, I remember that freaking me out a little bit when I was a kid.
It's a thing. So he'll be the last one left? Is that why the French dude's trying to kill? Is that so? Then he'll get the power.
Well, I think he thinks it's them. He knows. I mean, everybody else knew each other.
Yes.
And then the stranger shows up and everyone starts dying.
Because what was it? It was like, why we wouldn't kill each other for money because we're already fabulous and wealthy and successful.
And the one lady says it for power. But once you know what the deal is, I don't think any of those people knew what the deal was. They were there just for their visit. Their benefactor is dying. That's why they're there.
So you don't think they knew that there's the one person who's left gets the power?
Well, because what he sells her is when it comes your time, you're going to invite five people and kill all but one.
When so, you're about to die. So you
why would the guy show up knowing that you're going to kill me?
I guess that's true. That's true. I mean, because if you win, if you're the one left, then you get the power.
I mean, do you want the power? If someone said, whatever your dream is, you're going to be an Academy Award winning actor,
successful
Kevin.
Podcaster.
A professional you're going to be the next Joe Rogan.
That's what I was going. Yes. You read my diary.
Except, like, in 20 years, there's a good chance that you're going to die by supernatural. You still in?
You had 20% chance of getting the power.
20% getting power. What is that? An 80% chance of just dying a terrible death.
Yes. I don't teach math, but I think that those are the correct numbers there. So thank you very much. Sweet Jesus.
I don't teach math, but I play one on TV.
But when the guy is on the roof trying to shoot Sam Elliott, Sam Elliott does a barrel roll into some kind of little room where there's like a crossbow set up. And suddenly, out of nowhere, he is like Robin Hood. He shoots the dude from 400 yards away with a high wind with a crossbow. Nailing him
dude,
right in the
he
chest.
Could have shot that crossbow with his ass because he is all American superhero. He is Superman.
He saved the day. Catherine Ross was just chilling in like the porte cochere or whatever, just going like, if you
she's
stay
just
out of his way.
Flouncing around in like silken robes or velvet dresses, just going, are you a witch?
Well, what they do is they just, there's a painting in the study or whatever that, of course, like we've seen a thousand times. This was Great Aunt Matilda, whatever her name is. And of course, it's the spitting image of Catherine Ross wearing the same dress and shit. So
are they saying these other people were all related?
No.
They're family members?
No, they
then
were
how
not.
Do they know it's Aunt F- and Matilda?
They know the story for some reason. They know. I didn't write the movie. They know the story. But you think when you see that she's the spitting image of the ancestor, the matriarch or whatever, you think you'd be like, oh, I'm not getting the power. It's definitely not coming my way. It's definitely going to be Catherine Ross.
I think they're coming for a reading of the will or something.
They are.
They are all way too relaxed to have the idea that they're going to die. But interestingly enough, when people start dying, no one is ready to leave.
Sam Elliott is.
Sam Elliott, he won't invite it. Nobody else.
He's ready to bounce. When Catherine Ross shows him the painting, his reaction is so bizarre. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Can you imagine what they were doing? It's like, so what? I don't understand his reaction. Is he like, that kid, they went down into town and paid a local artisan to draw this just to make fools of us? Is that what he thinks? Or is it some other?
It's a scam. He said, baby, you got to just relax. It's a scam.
Darling, you got to relax.
You got to relax.
We're going to steal some horses.
People are going to think you're crazy. So relax.
So just relax. You know this ain't no black
magic. I've written the word relax like 35 times.
Absolutely. Later, because there's the reading of the will, and now Jason Manoloff's in like a freaking oxygen tank. So you don't get to see. Occasionally you see like his claw hand. Like,
he's got out. A crazy eye. What was that show?
Down. He was Sloth from the Goonies.
What was that? The show with it's supposed to take place during Prohibition, and he was wearing.
Oh! You're talking that Steve Buscemi show.
The Steve Buscemi show where it had all the prosthetics because they're all jacked up from World War I, and he'd take off his fake eye. That would have been the Walmart version.
What was the name of that show? Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire. Yes. It was so by the end, she kind of throws back the curtain to reveal the shittiest Halloween mask. Just half his face is just kind of an old man face, and the other half is like literally just like a saggy melty with a crazy face.
With just like one crayon eye looking back at you.
I love it where it's like the fake eye that stares straight ahead while the other eye is actually doing some work.
You've got Marty Feldman eyes.
You know that's what it was. Jesus. So earlier in the movie, he'd shoved a ring on her finger, which she could not get off. So that caused her a lot of issues. Like, baby, you just need to relax.
Just relax your finger.
It's just a damn ring, honey. Okay? Tomorrow, I'm going to steal some horses, and we're gonna gallop into town. I don't know what this accent is. This is not what Sam Elliott sounds like.
It doesn't sound very California. If he's from California, what the fuck is his accent?
Is it an
affectation? That's not like Riverside. That's definitely not the Bay Area. Is that how they talk in San Diego?
It's Modesto, I think, if you check. No, it's not really an accent. It's just kind of a, like, I have a slow way of talking.
Maybe he's just slow. I don't know. It's just a delay in processing.
It's just Sam Elliott, no offense, if you're listening. There was a...
Not if, when... Please.
When he tunes in, he's got a lot to say. There was a climactic scene when Sam Elliott has gotten shot, presumably in the head, because he's like, and Catherine Ross just leaves him writhing on the floor. He's like, Maggie, Maggie, My head's been blown off. And she just walks off, leaves him behind.
That's the moment of the switch.
Of the switch. Because he also falls on one of like the crossbow bolts that's sticking out of his head. Ah, damn.
That is the exact moment when he loses all the power, and then she becomes powerful.
We're kind of beating this drum very heavy. This was not a, you know, the husband sits there, you know, I'm going to order for my wife if it's all the same. She'll have the small dinner
salad. That's because they didn't eat at a restaurant. Otherwise, for sure.
She'll have the small dinner salad with a little lemon water.
Baby, do you think you should have that dessert?
If she asks for dessert, you tell her no. No dessert. No, sorry, baby. Now, sorry, I have the three steaks.
You're getting the bloat.
Just a little dash of the bloat. He's not like that. She does spend a lot of this time confused, like, what in the hell? Black magic? Where he spends the whole time being pissed off. So
the whole beginning of the movie, I'm like, this must have been the time when you left your father to go live with the father that you then have sex with.
That is not true.
He practically carries her in a snuggly.
He carries her in adultery in a snuggly as well. So he's a snuggly kind of guy. Oh, sweet Jesus. So he follows her up the stairs, up to the throne room or whatever, where the oxygen tank is. Maggie! And then he just starts destroying the medical area.
He's having a tantrum. That's him. He's lost control of the situation.
That is true. He's lost control.
And he knows he's never going to get it back, because after his tantrum, as one does, he just settles right down and gets on with the new program.
Does he accidentally on purpose murder Jason Mount Olive by like throwing like shit into the oxygen tank?
Yes, he literally at one point picks up a monitor and throws it at the body.
And you hear a sizzling and kind of a flash, and then there's just a sizzle of flesh. I think that's the end of
flesh for fantasy, one might say.
I would argue it was an unmotivated tantrum, but who's to say?
It was the loss of power. See, you had to have it.
That's what it is. Clearly.
No, because after that, now suddenly she's queen dingling and he is on board. There's no more sass back. There's no more relax, baby. There's no more. You got the cuckoos, because he literally says, okay, so now you got all the power in the world. You got to find five people and kill all but one. Kay, and he's all on board too. I'm going to have to get used to this lifestyle. Kay.
You're paraphrasing.
That's not a direct quote.
Not a direct quote. Now, my question, because you're right. Jason she's got the ring and he's like, when you're dying, you must find five people and kill four of them to pass on Satan's reign. And you think at this point, Catherine Ross is like, so it is some black magic shit. I don't know about this murdering people shit, but okay. She's on board. She's like, cool. Let's do it.
And the first thing she does is put a ring on her husband, so he knows, step in time, or you ain't coming back. Step in time.
I wonder where you go with that. Yes. She literally said, she's like trying to put the ring on his finger.
And he's all, okay.
Well, he says, is this ring going to come off? And she's like, let's find out. Toots.
Boink.
He's like, yeah, this ring ain't coming off, baby. I don't know
what
you're
talking
about.
She has the power. He is completely on board to whatever. We're going to eat babies on Sunday after golf. Whatever. He's down.
As we do as Democrats. That's what we do after golf. It's baby eating. So he's one of the five now?
Yes. That's what shit. I'm saying.
Catherine, that was a dark move, Catherine Ross.
It was a dark move, and he's like, here's my finger, my dark mistress.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't tell me this is not a feminist movie. He went from, I'm going to handle this baby, to, what may I do to serve you? Shall I carry you up the stairs now? Because now I got the motherfucking ring. No one says you can't go before you're dying.
That's true. Well, because I guess that's also their matrimonial rings, right? Because now they're, because they weren't married at that point, but now they
so are they married to Satan. All the other people? Is this, we're back to polygamy? Is that what's happened?
Anything goes with Satan, I guess.
My sister wives and my brother husbands.
That's how we do it. Any last thoughts and feelings before we move on?
I have to say, I still, even after all this time, I have positive feelings towards this movie.
And Sam Elliott's ass.
And right. Sam Elliott's ass. You can't, it cannot be denied.
Shall we go behind the scenes?
Please do. Or let's go behind the behind.
Boom! let's see. Sam Elliott and Catherine Ross met and fell in love when they co-starred in this movie. They married in 1984 and are still together. We mentioned that earlier. So good times.
And she's tiny, because in the movie they look like they're the same height, but I Googled to see what they look like, and she's like tiny like a leprechaun. She's Tyrion Lannister.
They can't all be Tyrion Lannister. And they can, now he can be Wilt Chamberlain. That's a topical reference. Ravenhurst, the country mansion, was Roger Daltrey's real-life residence.
Dude, he is the Dark Lord.
Absolutely.
It is Wayne Manor.
Daltrey lent his mansion for use in the movie on the condition that he co-star in it. And they created the role of Clive Jackson specifically for him.
All right.
And I think Sam Elliott's, they're like, what does he do? He's like, I don't know, but he's doing it well. That's a, they gave him some zingers there. It's a good time.
Right on. No, he was fine.
He was fine. That's how you
I mean, in Tommy, he's a deaf, dumb, and blind kid who does play the mean pit ball.
He did write the musical.
That Tommy, doesn't count. No, what have you done for me lately?
I guess not much. 2 years after this movie's release, Sam Elliott gave an interview to Jerry Buck of the Associated Press in which he said about this movie, I wouldn't rush out to see it. It's about 15 years behind its time. So there you go. Good times. Let's see. Considered for Carl, who was played by Charles Gray, the former Nazi. And then we love these. Considered before the people turned you down. That's when the consideration occurred.
You're sitting around at the Brown Derby with a couple of your jackass friends having some gin and tonics at noon, and we're speedballing ideas.
That's great.
What about Laurence Olivier?
Why not? Among those considered were Peter Cushing, Herbert Lom, Donald Pleasence, Sir Christopher Lee, Michael Gough, Patrick Troughton. That's an all-star cast.
What the fuck is that?
He was the second Doctor Who, Patrick Troughton. Oh. Also, you
no,
know
no, no. I love this dude. It's just a jump to the left.
The film's primary writer, Jimmy Sangster, originally wanted to use this film to get away from the typical British horror from his past scripts for Hammer.
Oh.
The original script was set in a rundown hospital in Detroit, as opposed to an isolated mansion in the English countryside. The studio insisted that it be set in the UK, as it would be cheaper for them to film locally, though they did permit American protagonists.
Wait a minute. So then there was no Roger Daltrey.
No, because remember, they created that after they found the English manor.
Although the hospital in Detroit, that could be kind of interesting.
In the end, Jimmy Sangster wasn't happy with the film being more in line with Hammer-type horror films. It basically came back to basically being another Hammer movie.
Yeah. So. But, I mean, I for one, enjoy a good Hammer film.
I love a Hammer film. Ain't no lie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. One of two movies in which Charles Gray plays a Satanist, the other being The Devil Rides Out in 1968. You know,
oh,
that
I've
one,
never
you?
Seen that.
That's a Hammer film with Christopher Lee. It's not about cowboys.
But it could have been.
It could have been. Body count six. Six people bite the dust. In the third act, Maggie turns out to be Jason's maternal great-granddaughter. Sadly, the real-life age difference between Catherine Ross and John Standing is only 7 years.
Well, they have him all jacked up because he's all young at the beginning and then took a magic pill.
That made his face melt?
Right.
So that was good. Shall we go behind the scenes? We already went behind the scenes. Shall we go to the cast and crew?
Let me pump the brakes here for a second. So you have to pick one.
Yes.
And they all died by the misdeeds that they did.
For the most part.
But it's all for the glorification of satanic power?
Yes.
I thought you get rewarded for all these misdeeds. So you have to be a good person to inherit in Satan's power.
Yes.
Okay. As long as that's clear.
I guess. Let's see. The director was Richard Marquand. You know him from... He's a director and producer. He did Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, Jagged Edge. What else? Nowhere to Run, he wrote in 1993. NBC Special Treat in 1976.
Special Treat. I mean, you were on a roll there with actually things I heard until you got for the after school special.
Yeah, I went off the rails there. we said it was written, co-written by Jimmy Sangster. You know him from writing such things as The Horror of Dracula.
Never saw it.
Fear in the Night.
Nope.
The Horror of Frankenstein. There's a lot of horror going on. A
lot of horror. The Horror of the Black Lagoon. Not the creature, but the horror.
And, exactly. And the writer of the 1963 film Maniac. You know it, don't you?
I might know Maniac, actually. That's Freddy Krueger. Son of a thousand maniacs.
Top cast. Yeah, Catherine Ross, who played Margaret Walsh, the protagonist. You know her from The Graduate, The Stepford Wives.
Yes.
Cassidy and the Sundance
Still
Kid.
The best Stepford Wives.
Donnie Darko. She's been in quite a few things.
I never liked that. I think I saw that once a long time ago. Everybody raves about it.
Sam Elliott played Pete Danner. You know him from such things as A Star is Born, the new one, in 2018. Roadhouse, he played
Wade Garrett. Well, I assumed it was not the Judy Garland one.
It was the Judy Garland one, absolutely. He was in a movie called The Hero in 2017. The Big Lebowski played The Stranger in 1998.
And did a fine job at that.
Dynamite. And
did I tell you I went to a Big Lebowski bar in Reykjavik?
You did not.
They had like the bowling alley was on the wall. Everything was Lebowski.
Lebowski. And of course, the immortal classic Frogs, which we've talked about on this show.
Indeed we have.
Charles Gray played Carl Liebknecht. Because he's German. You know him from such things as Diamonds Are Forever, the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep. In fact, Rocky Horror was the first thing that popped into my mind. Not Blofeld.
And this was 5 years after Rocky Horror Picture Show.
All right. So yeah, he does look different.
He was in another James Bond movie playing a different character. He was in You Only Live Twice in 1967 playing Henderson.
Once when you are born and once when you look death in the face.
That's what they say.
That's what the quote.
And he played Mycroft Holmes in 1976 in The 7% Solution.
I love that movie.
Good times. Let's see. And then Roger Daltrey played Clive Jackson. You know him from... Listomania in 1975. He was Tommy in Tommy in 1975.
Oh, Tommy in Tommy.
He was Tommy. Played the titular. He was the titular Tommy. And then there's a lot of like soundtrack shit from like Lost Boy, Secret of My Success. So good times.
Yada yada.
Any other characters you want to know about before we move on with our lives?
No.
Fair enough. Let's look at Rotten Tomatoes, shall we?
Mm.
The Legacy, currently 19% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What? I have dug through piles of their bullshit for them to serve me this?
Do you know what the audience gave it?
82.
24. Wah, 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 wah.
I will cry tripe, whatever tripe is served. God damn it.
Let's see. I don't recognize a lot of these names in the top critics. I do recognize their publications. So I'm just going to do that. John Corey from the New York Times said, "Sometimes Mr. Elliot seems to be dozing off."
Shut your mouth, bro.
Ernest Leo Grand from the New York Daily News says the movie's effect is more queasy than spooky. 1 out of 4.
Queasy.
Very good.
I mean, you're not going to be traumatized. You're not even going to be scared. But it's fine. It's the 70s. It's a Hammer film. Are you going to demand your ticket back from Scream and Scream Again? Come on.
Yes. Perry Stewart from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram says...
Loses 2 points for having the name Perry.
The film fails to provide even a cheap scare, so it settles for an expensive gore. It's a poor substitute. So very upsetting.
I found it quite entertaining and held up through the years.
Dean Johnson of the Orlando Sentinel says, surprises, none at all. 1 out of 4.
What about Freddie Fillmore from the Scientology Now podcast?
He says, see it, and then keep seeing it, and then volunteer for the Sea Org. Good times. What is your rating?
Well, it's a hard one.
It's hard not to lie.
I think if I had never seen it, and you had recommended it, I'd probably give it a 3.
if it was mine, then it gets the shaft. I see. Interesting.
But since I have emotional attachment, and really, it didn't crash. This was not a Highlander situation where I remember it being simply the greatest film of all time, and then you slowly watch all your dreams crumble.
That's
true. It's about what I remember it. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 slaps on that ass.
I knew it was coming. Absolutely. That was 3.5 slaps on that ass.
Out of 5. I withheld.
I'm going to go with 3 angry, irritated, arched eyebrows from Sam Elliott.
I mean, he alone makes it entertaining.
I'm telling you, watch it just for his reactions to shit. Like, what the? There's a lot of like, are you kidding me?
He does so much with those furry eyebrows.
He does, no question. I thought it was fun. I don't think it was outstanding by any stretch of the imagination. Parts were enjoyable. Parts were a little draggy drag, if you will.
But it was short.
It was short. I like the runtime was obviously advantageous.
And I think the draggiest parts are at the beginning.
Well, I think when you
with love themes and long circling of parks trying to find our way out with bad 70s music.
Look, if you did not have the musical montages, the movie is 15 minutes. You gotta have the musical montages. If you're flipping channels and you come across it, give it a look.
Ain't that Roger Daltrey?
Absolutely.
Or maybe you're not. I'm pretty sure if I asked all my kids, I'm going to end tomorrow. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to say, who is Roger Daltrey?
They're not going to have any idea.
No.
He was the front man for The Who. Now, do you know who The Who is?
Kids, do you know who The Who is? Who, Mass? No.
No, I do not. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine is what I would say. So there you go. Thank you very much. Go to our pages on Twitter.
Wait, are you saying you don't own this on Blu-ray?
I do not. We watched it on YouTube for free.
That was the only place we could find it. It's a crime. I hope the Academy has the original film sealed away in a vault for generations.
If you could buy
I'm calling the Library of Congress.
I think you could buy it. You definitely buy it on DVD, possibly on Blu-ray, but it's not streaming anywhere.
Can I get it on VHS?
Yes, definitely VHS. On 8-track. Yeah.
What about the big laser disc? Can I watch it on that?
The big, like...
The big ones.
You gotta have the big one. absolutely.
I went to an estate sale not that long ago, and I was like, should I buy this?
The answer is.
I was like, you ain't got no room. You're not living in Wayne Manor. You don't have time for any more weird shit.
You do not. So go to our page on Facebook, on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We are all places. You can also watch us on YouTube. So you can do that.
Woo! That's why I put on the lipstick today.
That's exactly right. So you can watch us, or we're simulcast on the podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. You can also email us at thepodcastthatwouldn't die@gmail.com. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review. Won't you, Aaron? What's up with your social media?
There's much media. I'm getting a little traffic on my Artsy account. So don't just look. You gotta buy.
Right.
No, I got an email that my picture is getting traffic. So when a lot of people are looking at your stuff, it pops up on the first page.
Oh, sweet.
So, good times. Yeah, I haven't gotten any orders yet. We got to get on that. So back to your original question. I am on the Instagram. I am the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I am also Don't Feed the Pigeons. I'm on Artsy. I'm on First Dibs. Coming soon somewhere else. Once summer hits and I can think about other things. Boom.
Nicely done. Good for you. That's about it. Next week, we're going to be discussing the horror classic Halloween H2O, starring Jamie Lee Curtis and Josh Hartnett and others.
I think I saw this motherfucker at the theater. This is a tragedy.
I think I did as well. I think we have to talk about the bizarre and convoluted timelines for all these crazy Halloween movies, but not right now. So where can you watch it? These are excellent questions. If you have a subscription to Paramount Plus, it's free right there. Also,
is that what I subscribe to? Oh no, I subscribe to Peacock so I can watch Eurovision, which I'm still slightly obsessed with. I'm gonna have to download the entire Eurovision album because they won't let you just download songs you like.
Don't do that. You can also watch Halloween H2O for free on Pluto TV with ads, just the way the creator
God intended.
Now, if you get it's also obviously if you want to pay for it, you can pay for it on Amazon, Apple TV, Vudu, Redbox, etc. So send us any favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions, and maybe we'll talk about it on the show.
I swear to Jesus, I can't remember anything that happens at H2O. Is there water of some sort? Is Jason or Freddy?
Jason and Freddy make brief appearances.
Swimming underwater. Absolutely. Is that what's happening? Donald Pleasant's bloated corpse is floating down there.
Why not?
With an octopus.
So, thank you very much. And be well.
Bye, kids.